Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today I'm speaking with Stephanie Handel, who is a child and family therapist at the Wendt Center for Loss and Healing in Washington, D.C. She is also the director of Camp Forget Me Not / Camp Aaron in D.C. and the coordinator of the Voices of Now program's Expressive Arts Approach to Grief. Ms. Handel, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Huge honor, Lulu, to be here.
Can you talk to me about Camp Forget Me Not and its mission to start?
So I think I want to start with just the Wendt Center, because you named it, and that's an important part of our camp specifically. It is a community-based organization, and its sole mission is dedicated to restoring hope and healthy functioning for children, teens, and their families that are coping with grief, loss, and trauma. And we've been around, you know, since the, you know, the late 70s. And so all of a sudden, let's move forward though. It's 1999. And at that time, I came on board in 2000. 1999, we began to explore the idea of a grief camp. And there already had been some, this idea of grief camps that were happening in the nation already. And the Wendt Center began to really invest in providing an alternative therapeutic environment for young people. And our name, pretty soon after that first year, we played around with the name for a couple of years. Landed on Camp Forget Me Not, which is for the Forget Me Not flower. And the second part, which is the Camp Aaron piece, came under a grant which from the Moyer Foundation, which is now the Eluna Network. And that becomes important because the Eluna Network is behind the Camp Aaron camps, which are grief camps that can be found all over the United States. And they are specifically for children and teenagers that are grieving the death of one, many important people in their lives. Mm-hmm. So here we are, Camp Forget Me Not, Camp Aaron, DC. We've been running a camp since 99. With the mission to provide a safe, supportive, fun environment to children and teenagers, a place to really explore their losses, get some education sometimes, be able to be a teen without the responsibilities of maybe taking care of surviving parents or surviving siblings. And so the camp environment, without the four walls of therapy or being in like a grief group in school where, you know, teens don't want to go to the counselor's office or somebody doesn't want to be a part of after school therapy, that the camp environment just was a very different environment. It promoted a whole different feeling, and the camp environment winds up being a super successful place for young people to explore their grief.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense, because I know I had trouble with therapy and connecting in that kind of situation. And I've also had trouble finding peer support that's accessible. So, and not completely depressing. So the camp environment sounds great.
There are many teens because we have them complete an application and there's an assessment, and they are very clear. Like, I'm not coming to a camp if I'm going to cry the entire time. I'm not coming to a camp if you expect me to talk the whole time. And, you know, through slideshows and really talking about what happens in the camp environment, it becomes a much more attractive place and a much safer place to really let a little bit of the guard down and be able to get a little bit closer to their grief.
I bet. So Can you elaborate on the importance of peer support and what makes it so special?
It's special because it's your friends.
Yeah.
You know, if I get all heady for a moment as an adult and as a therapist, the reality is adolescence, if we look at from 12 to 19 or so, really is a very different time of development. And, you know, it's a time of beginning to separate from parents. It's a time of exploring yourself. It's a time of lots and lots and lots of transitions and changes. It's a time of identity formation. Who am I? You know, who do I want to be? Who am I like? You know, like really, what do I want to be? So in that time, your friends, peers become the natural bond. The expectations with peers are different from expectations of the adults in your life. Accountability is different with your peers than it is with adults in your life. Peers, in a really, really genuine way, provide validation. You know, you trust. When I was a teenager, as you were a teenager, you trust in your friends sometimes more than you trust in adults, because adults, we have different missions, if you might. Adults want to protect young people. Adults are always looking at how to fix, how to make sure that things aren't as hard. Peers are right in that same place. So the honesty and the trust, sometimes there's a different genuineness, which is why peer support becomes really important. Peer support also is, while all of our stories are really, really different, if you're talking to a peer about your grief, you know that they know the walk.
Yeah.
That they're navigating the same sort of stuff, like dating and what's my next step and how to navigate responsibilities at home. And there's a real candidness in knowing that they know the struggles that you go through for real. And a lot of times I think why peer support is also really important is that as teens, we want our friends to like us. We want to be accepted. And so we also often will protect our other friends and not tell them too much because of either if they'll shy away from us, or we see like what I'll call the pity eyes and the sad eyes. And all of a sudden we're like, mm-mm, that's not what I want. And with peer support, there's a much more of being open and genuine because you know that both of you are there to talk about and be open and really validate this grief experience.
You kind of lose the pity part too, because you've both gone through the same thing. It's not like, oh, that's so terrible. It's like, yeah, I know it's terrible.
The kid gloves, I mean, while listeners might not see it, I mean, that you used your hand and it's sort of like the kid, yeah. Like, oh, I'm not going to treat you like a fragile egg, because we actually don't want to be treated like the fragile egg. We want to be seen with capacity and strengths. And so in peer support, in which there's real understanding of that, the pity eyes and the pity support sort of fall off to the side a lot more.
Exactly. And that ends up being an issue trying to talk about grief within a family sometimes too. There are all those dynamics where a parent wants to make sure their child is okay no matter what, even though the child's not really doing great, but it's okay that they're not doing great. That's just how they feel. Or the child doesn't want to upset the parent. I know that's something that I went through. I didn't want to be something else adding to the whole experience, my own grief. I wanted to be like a rock for my mom and sister, even though I was really suffering. So going outside to somebody who might also be struggling with the same thing is really just so important.
And you talk right there about those responsibilities. Like, an 8-year-old doesn't have that same sense of responsibility of being in the house and taking care of things. So here, the being the rock in the house for the parent is so critical. So teens wind up holding a lot more inside. So this idea of camp, you know, where you can go, and believe me, there's a lot of selling teenagers on, I promise you, we will check in with your caregivers, we'll check in with your siblings if you need to, but let's try and give you that space,
yeah, to
be a teenager and be able to also go from the inside and explored on the outside through a ton of different workshops at camp, but in a very different environment. It's not your home environment where you're worried about your caregiver.
Exactly. So can you tell any stories about the effects of Camp Forget-Me-Not or other peer support on teenagers?
You know, this is really where my heart is, because camp is so much about risk taking. If you think about it, it's a sleepaway camp. It's, you know, two full nights away. So you watch as young people come with their guards up, you know, like, who am I going to present to be and how much am I really going to expose? And they come to camp and realize just really the level of respect for who they are, really listening to their voice and not telling them what to do or what to say. And this menu of options of how to explore it. So whether it's creative drama in talking about grief or exploring grief, to being up on the confidence course and taking physical risks, and how do you trust people with your body before you trust them with your story, to drumming and art and spoken word and open mic. And it's through those activities that I have some of the stories for you. And I have to give tremendous respect and acknowledgement to the teens that come to our camp and have been coming for years. So here's a couple of stories. We have a boat memorial specifically at our camp. And so almost all camp grief camps have a memorial of some type. Ours is done on Saturday night. In one of the earlier grief groups in camp, all of the campers make a boat in memory and honor of the person who has died. And, you know, there's a ton of symbolism and words and colors that are on these boats. And Saturday night is the boat memorial. And each group basically goes down to the waterfront in front of the rest of the camp. They hold their boats up, and then the boat is put into the water. Now, that there's so much symbolism of releasing the boat into the water, and for everybody, it's completely different. So for this 13-year-old, his mother actually died when he was 10. He never got to attend a funeral, never got to say goodbye, and the power of our boat memorial and hearing her name and having the support and having the acknowledgement and being able to really connect with this saying goodbye, if you might. At the end of it, he turned to his group, he turned to the volunteer buddies and said, "This is the funeral that I never got to attend." Another story is of a little bit of an older teenager. This is a 17-year-old camper. And all of our campers get matched with an adult buddy, if you might. They're volunteers who've experienced deaths themselves. And so the teen and another teenager and this buddy go in a canoe. And the reality is this isn't grief. We're going out on the water. We're canoeing. We're, you know, we're doing something way outside our norm. And while they're out in they're canoeing, they wind up getting into this super intense conversation about being Black men, about sort of what they want to do in the future, what's holding him back. This young man was really worried about leaving his mother and going to play football. He had been given a college scholarship, but was saying no. And in the course of being out in the canoe in this really supportive grief environment, there was something that shifted in looking at what does it mean to still be able to live even after someone dies, being able to do things for self, being able to remember and honor and live. And with the buddy and with his peer all out in the canoe on this river in Maryland, he gave himself permission to say, you know what, it's okay for me to take this scholarship. And it's that environment, it's being with peers that can sometimes help you hear a different voice in your head or reflect back in a different way than your own experience. I mean, I can keep going. I have a great stories about the peer support of camp and why it works. We also have Voices of Now. It's a collaboration that we have with Arena Stage, which is the theater here in Washington, D.C. And over the course of 5 months, teaching artists with the help of grief therapists work with solely teenagers. The Wendt Center is a solely teen grieving ensemble. It is 100% written, crafted, created, performed by teenagers, where they decide what they want to educate the community about. They share their stories. They create this super powerful script.
That's awesome. So my final question for you is, what piece of advice do you have that you think it's incredibly important for teenagers to hear?
I will say my advice to you is, don't bury and push away the loss. That person, you have a relationship with them. You have a relationship with them when they're living, and you have a relationship with them in their death. And how you can give yourself permission, whether it's with your peers, whether it's with a therapist, whether it's with a school counselor, clergy, but give yourself permission to speak their name, explore the good, the bad, the ugly. I think we all have it. And, grief sometimes only has people focusing on the good, but we're all human beings. But that you take advantage of support 100% and continue believing that hope is possible even when death happens.
Yeah, that's great. Ms. Handel, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.